check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Rockwood, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 390 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP in the chat or in the comments if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today, as I tweeted, we have another first-time guest. We have Brian Rockwood. Brian, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited. I'm excited to hop on with you guys, and I've caught up with a few past episodes, so yeah, I'm ready to get going.
That's good. Before we get started, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, so yeah, like I said at the top of the show, my name is Brian Rockwood. I am writer, analyst over at Fantasy Now Plus, and as well as Optimus Fantasy. I also have a show called Get Tilted, which is we've talked about DFS. And you can also find me at on Blue Sky at Brock Talks FF. Whatever at fantasynowplus.com. And then I'm also over on Twitter at esportsbrock.
Yep. Very nice. We need to get Evan and Kevin, and then we'll have completed the Optimus group. So, because we've had Nate recently. So we'll work on that. And Herms is cheering in the chat, as Herms is the one who introduced us to Brian. And we're very happy about that. So it's good. So we have an interview for our first time guests. So how long have you been playing fantasy?
Yeah, for fantasy, I don't really remember my first season, so this is kind of a rough kind of like estimate. So I'm saying 2012. In our main, hometown league, we're over 10 years in like 2014 when we start keeping history. So I knew it was a couple years before that. So we're going to go ahead and say 2012 is when I started fantasy as a whole. As for dynasty, I'm kind of a baby. I just started in 2021. So Okay. Very much, while I'm new in it, I like to also say, like my first real year of paying attention to Dynasty was 2 years ago, but we're just thriving. We're figuring it out. Well, a couple of rebuilds already.
Yeah, I started in 2020 and these guys let me host a podcast for some reason. So being a baby doesn't necessarily matter. And what are some of the best trades you've made in that couple years of Dynasty?
Yeah. So the one I really liked recently was, I received JSN and J.K. Dobbins after sending away DK in a 2025 second. That one felt pretty good. And a couple years ago,
when was that made?
That one was made last season.
So before he was a Charger, right?
Correct. Yeah. So this was this was mid Charger run for Dobbins, and then I think a couple of games after he got hurt. So I was like, well, that stinks. But JSN feels pretty good.
JSN for DK in a second even is enough.
Yeah, I would be right with that,
And another one I really liked was Ken Walker and a 2024 second for Joe Burrow.
Ooh.
And that one was a single QB league, so don't forget too much about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So. But I'd still do that anyway. Yeah. Cool. And the things that are easier to remember, what are some of the worst trades you've made?
Yeah, I got a couple. so one of the first playoffs I had, I wanted to make a run, so it was getting Cooper Kupp, which felt pretty good. I sent away Amon-Ra St. Brown in a first. So that one aged pretty good, as you can imagine.
There was a point where that made sense, but it doesn't feel great now.
it felt okay. I finished third that year, and then Cooper Kupp kind of started hitting the cliff. So
yeah,
that one, I didn't really think Amon-Ra St. Brown was like real. To be honest,
I was gonna say, especially like in his rookie season or even into his second year, people were still questioning, like, is this because he was a second day guy, and or was day three guy?
No, I think he was like late round three, but he was still.
I wasn't sure if it was three or four. Yeah, and I remember he came on at the end of his rookie year, and that was a big talking point. The whole like non-point scoring season is Amon-Ra St. Brown for real, and even into the second season, I think. So yeah,
it was a classic that year. I drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown like late, dropped him halfway through the season, picked him up back off of waivers, and I was like, oh, this is awesome! Now I can send him over for Cooper Kupp. This seems like a no-brainer, right? Surely. And another one, I sent away DK Metcalf to get Cam Akers, Rashid Shaheed, and a third.
Wow, you don't like DK Metcalf.
I guess not. I don't know. That one was more, that one was a bet on JSN being better in his rookie season. That didn't really happen, but luckily, I don't know. Nothing matters because DK Metcalf clearly the best player on that trade, but
yeah.
What's a guiding principle you have in trading?
For trades, I like to just tell myself I know what's best for my team. You know, a lot of people will pull up the trade calc and say, hey, no, by the way, this is even or whatever, or like this is helping me and you at the same time, or it's better for you than it is for me. Just trust your gut a lot in trades. You know your team. You know what is not scoring you points. You know where you need to get more just like, you know, robust in. So yeah, just, you know, it's best, it's your team, so hey, trust yourself.
I like that. Go with your gut, trust. Yeah, I like it. All right, well, we can get into the news, starting off with the sad stuff. Cam Scadabo will miss the rest of the season with a dislocated ankle. If you haven't seen it yet and you're queasy, don't go watch it.
I couldn't help but see it during the Eagles game. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So, Brian, what are you doing now? We have Tracy around. Singletary's still kicking out there. Trade deadline's next week. I don't think they'll do anything about it, but what are you doing with the Giants?
The Giants, generally, if I have to, I will pick up Tyrone Tracy. However, at this point, I'd kind of rather stay away. I know, obviously, everyone's team is different, and the roster's kind of, you know, necessary, especially since you just lost a running back, right? You need to pick up someone. It's going to be Tyrone Tracy. I think that is just overall the better player of the two. He had way more juice last season. He was one of the guys that really helped you out when you didn't really think you had anything, you know, in him, you off the waiver wire or, you know, in your fourth round picks or whatever in Dynasty. So I think Tracy will get the bulk of the work. I just fear Singletary is going to just be annoying in terms of what that offense is going to do.
If
you're going to order them, Tyrone Tracy, Singletary, I guess take a shot if you have a bench spot.
Rocky,
but just sad.
Yeah. I'm in a redraft league with my son, and we're picking up Tracy there. We're trying to pick up Tracy there.
Right.
Because that's what you do in redraft. You just, to the hot running back, you just put a waiver claim in for. But in Dynasty, I'm not really interested in Tyrone Tracy. I didn't like him a lot coming out. I didn't like him a lot last year, even though I know some people did. And I'm still not sure about the Giants' offense. You know, now they're down Neighbors and Scadabo. I mean, I like what we're seeing out of Dart. I liked Dart coming out. And I think they're going to have moments. But, I mean, we saw this week it didn't look very good against the Eagles this week. After you know, a couple good games in a row. And I just feel like you want a guy who's getting a lot of the work, and I agree, he's going to get a majority of the work. Singletary will mix in, but I think it's going to be a lot of Tracy, and I think Tracy's going to be used more in the passing game. But I just don't see – I just don't have faith in the offense with the pieces they have, and I'm not a big fan of Brian Daboll to begin with, so
– So let me ask it this way. I agree with what you guys said, but let me ask it this way. If you're a contender, and Brian, you can answer first, would you trade Scadabo away now for, you know, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, one of the old guys who are probably going to score you some points, but next year is not guaranteed for anybody?
Definitely not Kamara. That's how I feel right now. I know we haven't seen Tyler Shuck play yet as a full-time starter.
Yep.
I just don't feel very interested at all. I, it just like, but as a whole.
Kamara's been so mediocre. And I was saying this coming into the season. Like, I know Kamara still looked great last year, but we're talking this offense is going to be bad. And it's hard to be good in a bad offense.
It almost feels kind of worse. Well, I take that back because Chris Olave has been great. Great. Yeah.
target load's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Absolute peppered. So I don't know. Yeah. Saints, I'm good. But in general, like trading away Scadabo for like a real contending piece.
Let's say David Montgomery then. Let's put a better piece on that. David Montgomery or DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard. I'm reading kind of the contending guys. Maybe not Pollard, but
see, it's funny because I think this is where my my gut says to just keep Scadabo, right? Mm-hmm. Like to me, he's young enough, and this injury is like I'm gonna call it early enough in the season where he can have enough of time to come back and be great for next season. Like you know, he'd probably come back next October, and that's plenty fine for you to you know make the run next year too. I guess for the sake of brevity, I'll say I'll probably keep Scadabo. I probably won't make that trade. But then always like big old asterisk depends on what the rest of your team needs. Like if you really just need points out of like the running back, like and you have nothing else going on, like sure, fish around. Like and honestly, like ask for like an overpay for someone who wants to look for something next year. Will that actually work? I don't know, but that's probably what I end up doing.
I agree with most of what Brian said. I'll just add. I'm going to say what we say a lot on this podcast. You don't trade the injured guy to replace the injured guy. Trade a second for, you know, one of those running backs.
For Tracy.
Yeah, there actually. You go.
No, I agree with that. I just, you know, I'm sure people are riding Scadabo who, you know, they probably got him in the mid-second and their team's doing better than normal. So it would be worth thinking if people wanted to get out what it would be for. But I agree with you guys. I don't think I'd get out. Okay, two quarterback pieces. Colts are looking to sign Daniel Jones to a long-term extension after this season per Rappaport, and Steelers want Rodgers back in 2026. So, Brian, when you think about – I know it's probably two very different quarterbacks and two very different scenarios here, but when you think about – these guys will be here next year. What does that do to their dynasty value for you?
I love Daniel Jones. Like the value has just continued to skyrocket, which is crazy to me. I mean, he has just completely 180'd all of our expectations on what he can do as a quarterback. And honestly, he's like saved Shane Steichen's job in such a way that I don't really know if we really anticipated that.
People forget Shane Steichen was like top three in coach hot seats coming into the season.
Yeah, I kind of want to see the screenshots of the you know first get fired betting on because he was very close to. I mean, yeah, and considering he now can do what like Daniel Jones's fantasy value came a lot from like being able to rush and do crazy things. I would like you know make plays happen despite being on an awful Giants team, and now he can do that on a good Colts team like that. Feels great. I don't have his age in front of me, but like I don't really think he's even close to being like too old. Like because QBs can play
probably mid to high 20s if I were guessing without even looking.
I and attached to Jonathan Taylor, who's good for another year. Like that feels pretty good to me. He doesn't have a backup quarterback to worry about. So unless you really love Riley Leonard, I think Daniel Jones like this is awesome for his. Fancy value. It feels great. Rodgers, I don't think this changes my thoughts on Rodgers at all. I think he's still fine and like going to be your QB2 if you're super flex. And that's kind of it because like it really is just like any year now and any just like year by year, he might not be playing again. And we'll see. He almost got injured by getting tackled by his own tackle. So.
Like, it's true.
The injury risk is kind of unfortunately real.
Yeah. He's 28, by the way, before rookie.
Yes. Okay.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I don't think it does change as much with Rodgers. Everyone just assumes every year is going to be the last year. And I don't think the idea that they might want him back next year is going to change anything. It's hard to get anything for Rodgers. We're going to have a Rodgers trade. That was actually me later in the podcast. that I was actually happy I was able to get what I could, because I've tried selling him in a couple leagues where I'm not contending, and it's been like impossible to get like better offers than like a fourth most of the time. So, and it's kind of helped. He's been decent to start this year too. But with Jones, I agree with Brian again. Daniel Jones, I think, has looked great. And remember, he did this a couple of years ago too with those bad Giants teams. And just going back to Steichen too, it's funny because like his job security is just like, it's kind of like skyrocketed. Not only are they good, but it's exactly what he was brought there to do. He was like an offensive guru, and he's now, you know, turned Daniel Jones into like a potential MVP candidate at this point. Just shout out to former Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen there. But
way to sneak the Eagles reference.
But yeah, so I like Jones a lot. And yeah, I do think this makes a difference if he actually signs the extension. Because I do think people were definitely, at least coming into the season, were probably thinking, well, coming into the season, we weren't sure until very late he was even going to start. And I don't think anybody thought he'd probably last, you know, be much beyond this year. If he even lasted the year, because I think there was thought that Richardson could still come in at some point prior to the season. So yeah, like Brian said, his value's already been skyrocketing. And if he gets a long-term extension and he keeps this up, I mean, it's sky's the limit.
I'm staring at the rankings. He's probably a top 12 quarterback if that happens. I mean, Bo Nix is 10 on the rankings I'm looking at. Stroud's 11, Love's 12, Baker's 13, Dirt's 14, Purdy's 15. I think I would take Jones over all of those right now. I mean,
yeah. This year, even with Taylor going nuts, he's QB5.
Yeah. They're scoring, like, they're averaging 30 a game. I mean, it's going to be crazy if we're talking about Dynasty QB1 Daniel Jones. Like, it's crazy.
Don't say it out loud like that. Yeah. You're gonna scare somebody.
Well, maybe you can sell them for that if people hear that.
Ooh, true.
All right. The Viking stuff. Carson Wentz is going to undergo season-ending surgery on his left shoulder. McCarthy has been announced will start this week. And I just wanted to read the details on what happened to Carson Wentz, because holy cow, either McCarthy was really hurt or McCarthy wasn't ready. So this is what Rappaport said. In the first half of the London game, which was a couple weeks ago, Wentz suffered a dislocation that tore his labrum and fractured the socket. He gutted out 2.5 more games for the Vikings with a big stabilizing brace while J.J. McCarthy recovered from his high ankle sprain. So either it was like the worst high ankle sprain in the history of man, or they weren't ready for him to come back. So obviously McCarthy didn't look very good the first couple of games. He's been sitting there for 7 weeks now. So Brian, are we nervous about the Vikings returning to what they were with McCarthy at the start?
I have no idea anymore about J.J. McCarthy as a player, because, you know, we saw like such a Jekyll and Hyde game week one, right? Mm-hmm. Like turbo bad, just super bad in the first three quarters. And then like almost like something like woke up where he was like, all right, I have to win the national championship again. And then just the fourth quarter kind of like turns it on. And we saw a lot of the things that we liked, and we kind of thought J.J. McCarthy would do. Like, we saw him running a lot. You know, he was actually kind of moving and, you know, actually throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. So that was sweet. Took three quarters to get there. And then just that second game was just so bad. So now, like, I don't know. Like, I am worried and scared and nervous, obviously, because what are we going to expect? Like, what can we actually anticipate to see from him? You know, a high ankle sprain the last 6 weeks is pretty uncommon, I think. Usually, I think it's like 3 weeks. So certainly quite an injury, especially if Carson Wentz has to go out there with a broken shoulder. Yeah, I'm worried. But like a lot of the players attached to him, you just still have to trust. Yeah. Like Addison and Jefferson, I don't think you have anything else you can do other than trot them out there.
I would worry more about Addison. Before Rocky goes, I would worry about that, because Addison has been feasting on that same like 20 yard out over and over and over again. And I'm not sure McCarthy can make that throw that Wentz can. And that's crazy saying that, but that would scare me because we never saw Addison with McCarthy.
Right.
Out for all of McCarthy's games. So, Rocky, what do you think of the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to make of McCarthy. It's such a, those first two games is such a small sample size. I kind of tend to lean towards where I was coming into the season, which is I believe Kevin O'Connell will make it work somehow just because – and maybe I'm too high on him because a lot of it is based on him making Sam Darnold look good, and Sam Darnold's actually looked kind of good this year too. But
and
maybe,
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's – yeah. But, and you know, even outside of Kevin O'Connell's system, he's still looking good. So maybe I'm making too much of that, but I'm not too worried about the weapons. It's not like Carson Wentz was playing great or anything, but they were doing enough to support JJ and Addison. And like you said, I know, maybe Addison falls off a little, but I feel like those two I still feel fine with. I JJ McCarthy himself, I have no idea.
The biggest thing that should happen is Cousins is going back, but I just don't think they're going to do it. And I would be I mean, it would be something. And Cousins came out today and said, like, he wants to go somewhere he was starting. I guess he didn't watch that game on Sunday that he played in where he did start. But it's just
I kind of think Cousins may be kind of cooked at this point.
He certainly played like it on Sunday.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's not his fault. They were against the elite Miami defense, so I don't know how you
exactly.
Everything Rocky and I said about the Falcons before the season was completely correct. They could be a top five offense, they could be a bottom five offense, and no one's going to know which week comes up because they beat the Panthers 30-0, or the Panthers beat them 30-0. They lost to the Dolphins, but then they win these weird games like on Sunday Night Football. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
All right, trade deadline. As that's next week, don't worry, Rocky. I'm going to do the news next week. Jordan Schultz says multiple teams have shown interest in trading for Jacoby Myers. Belief is comp is at least a day two pick. Tyler Lockett signed with the Raiders over the weekend. Bills are looking for a wide receiver ahead of the deadline. Please make that Rashid Shaheed. Both Saints wide receivers are being monitored ahead of the deadline, and the Dolphins don't have any plans to trade Jalen Waddle. Ryan, is there anything you take away from any of that? Or is there anyone you want the Bills
to? I don't know. The Bills would be interesting if they actually find a wide receiver. Like, I unfortunately can kind of see them easily just picking up Jacoby Myers to add to their pool of just dudes who are kind of good but aren't going to take over a game.
Yep.
I do agree. I kind of wish Shaheed goes there. At least that's
something open up the top. That's why I kind of want it. They don't have. They haven't had that since Gabe Davis. They haven't had that kind of deep ball guy. So
I completely agree. And considering Josh Allen, someone who would happily hit somebody if he's wide open downfield, like that is certainly like a key piece of the offense that can, you know, make James Cook even better when they constantly threaten like something deep like that. I don't know. Like the rest of this though, not super exciting. Like when you look at the Raiders, okay. Like Tyler Lockett joining Geno Smith for one last ride.
Yeah.
Sure, man. Like I don't think that is going to really move the needle. Though I will say what's weird is that they just completely phased out Dante Thornton. I didn't think he was that bad. They just decided we're done with you.
Yeah.
That
was what I thought was so upsetting about the Lockett thing is like if they had traded Jacoby, it would have been Besh, it would have been Thornton, it would have been Tucker, all these young players that could have developed, and they're like, let's bring Tyler Lockett back at age 45 at this point. And you're just not that team right now. Like, I'd rather them give, like, I know it's stupid to say O'Connell, but, like, O'Connell more reps, and, like, why are we doing this Geno? The Geno thing hasn't worked. And
I will say with Lockett, when you mention all the other receivers, we don't normally think of it this way of real football, but it could be a locker room thing, like show these young guys how to play receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That is fair because the whole
especially
room is relatively
Jacoby's
young.
Right?
Yeah. And I think because beforehand it was Devontae and, you know, then it became Jacoby, big man on campus. That is a really good point.
Yeah.
Because I don't really, you don't really know if they know how to become NFL great receivers like Tyler Lockett. So
yeah,
that's a good shout.
Yep.
And just with the trade stuff, the Jacoby thing is moderately interesting to me just because he's been serviceable in the past as like a wide receiver three with like wide receiver two upside. Mm-hmm. And if he goes to a legit offense, it's a nice cheap piece you might be able to add.
Yeah.
I don't know what that legit offense would
that
be.
That was literally my next question.
I know, I knew that.
That offense. Green Bay. They need receivers, although true. Again, all their receivers are the same.
Yeah. I'm having trouble coming up with a receiver needy
offense. Bucks that would be don't good need one. I'm trying to think of like the top end because that's who's going to do this. So the Bucks don't need one. The Rams don't need one. The Packers don't need one.
The Niners.
I mean, Ayuk. This comes in the season news. Ayuk is supposed to have his window opened this week.
I guess if Ayuk's back, yeah.
And so, Pearsall, I think, is back. I didn't watch a lot of football this week, unfortunately, but I think
Seahawks don't Packers, have a lot though. Behind JSN.
Seahawks could be true. Interesting.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'd trade him AFC, but Patriots, go back to the
Patriots. Welcome back. Maybe.
Yeah.
Douglas is kind of taking that role.
Yeah, that's the spot, I think, is the Patriots, if they needed. Because May is throwing to a lot of slop right now. I mean, DeMario Douglas, and I know the DeMario Douglas crowd is going
to... I don't think Jacoby Myers either is the kind of guy they'd care about if they trade him within the conference.
Right.
Like,
that's true.
Not like they're trading
him. Like, yeah.
AJ Brown or something to the...
Yeah. You know. Oh, let's do that. Is he traded?
No.
No chance. Okay. All right. All right, we'll do the season news. I'll just burn through all this and you guys can tell me if anything's interesting. Lamar and Puka are expected to return back this week. Lamar plays on Thursday. He's basically said he's starting. Judkins is day to day. He seems fine. Pacheco's week to week with an MCL injury. The Chiefs have been rumored to be in on the RB trade market, so we'll see what they do. London and Penix are day to day. Cedric Tillman is expected to return in week 10. Barkley not expected to be serious as they head into week 9 by Rocky. Can tell me if that's wrong. Ayuk could have his 21-day window opened this week. And MVS to the Steelers, which I thought was, you know, marginally interesting for football purposes, but not for fantasy because he's Rodgers' old guy. But Rocky, Barkley's fine, right? Seems like.
Yeah. The reports were around here that if he had needed to, he could have played. He could have gone back.
It was just a score thing.
Like if this was a playoff game and it was closed, he would have been in that game.
Yep. And then the major defensive injury, Patrick Surtain, reigning defensive player of the year, is out 4 to 6 weeks with a pec injury. He could be placed on IR. The schedule for that stretch is Houston, Las Vegas, Kansas City, by Washington, Las Vegas, Green Bay. So there's a lot of good wide receivers who could take advantage of not having Surtain around. So any notes in the minor news that matter to anyone? It was kind of a lot of meh this week. I guess Pacheco is the biggest news, but
the only minor news that mattered to me was the Lamar and Puka I have on my home big money redraft team.
There we go. They're back. It sounds like they're back. Lamar's definitely, I think Puka is like, I'm going to practice this week and we'll see.
Yeah. It sounds like what you're hearing. It sounds like he's going to be back.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's just so important for so many leagues, right? Getting those two guys back. So
yes,
love that. The Pacheco thing, like you said, that is kind of important. Breshard Smith, truthers, get back in here, another shot.
They've been here through. They've been here 3 weeks in a row. Wait, it's like this is. It was like the Travion Henderson thing. It's like this is the week he's going to do it.
Goodness.
If you have Nico or Rashee Rice, you know, be happy Surtain's out for a little bit and enjoy it. So, all right, Brian, now we have the guest decide. Would you like to do trades or listener questions first?
Oh, let's do some trades.
All right. Trade X leagues are 12-team super flex PPR tight end premiums, 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They always hold. And first trade is TA6, where we have Brian Thomas Jr. in a 26 third. For Chris Olave, Jonnu Smith, and a 26 late first. Ryan?
Wow, interesting. I think I'm leaning towards this Chris Olave side, mainly to just kind of re-roll a first-round pick. I know Brian Thomas Jr. is generally a later round first for most folks, and the vibe with Jacksonville seems bad. It's very weird.
I'm so interested to see what they look like coming out of their bye.
I don't understand what Trevor Lawrence is trying to do.
Yeah.
Like it resembles playing quarterback at a professional level.
That's a good way to describe it. There.
So, and Travis Hunter, I know it was a lot of his garbage time, but he kind of gave us our little show of like, all right, I think it was 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. Like, that's the real deal, you know, performance. So, can Brian Thomas Jr. stop having the yips? I guess that's kind of this whole bet, right? It's just, does BTJ stop having the yips soon? Or if not, like, this is the perfect time to get out. And taking Olave and a first seems pretty fine to me. Like, at least getting a first back seems very, very good. Jonas Smith in the third is, like, completely irrelevant to me in terms of this trade value. So, yeah, I like this Olave side a little bit more.
I'm with Brian. My Trevor Lawrence hate is well known. BTJ could get back to what he was last year, but I have no confidence in that with that team, with that quarterback. And I'm not even the big, you know, we're not the biggest of Chris Olave guys, but he's been doing his Chris Olave thing still this year, wide receiver two-ish, even on a not great team with not great quarterbacking. And you get the first. So, yeah, I think the craziest part of this trade to me is Russ sending away Brian Thomas Jr., but because that was Russ that sent him away. But yeah, he did get Olave, which he's always been a huge Olave guy. So.
Way more than the rest of us. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I love the getting out on Brian Thomas now while you're still getting pretty good value for him, because I had my doubts to begin with. I was surprised he did as well as he did last year. I thought he was a little too highly valued, you know, this non-point scoring season. So I kind of love this tear down trade.
There's a part of me that's staring at this trade and is almost like, can we put this back on the sheet for next week? Because Olave could be somewhere else. And true. Brian Thomas Jr., I just looked it up. The Jags are going to Vegas with no Max Crosby coming out of a bye. I mean, if not now, then when? And if Thomas goes nuclear now and he and Lawrence are back on the same page, I think this trade looks very different. But for right now, I'll take the upside of Brian Thomas Jr. just one more time. I know I can't. Olave hate's probably going too far, but I'll take Brian Thomas Jr. just one more time, and I'll fall for it one more time.
You've always liked him more than me, too.
Not really. I don't have any more of him either. I traded him away. So I just don't. I don't like anything on this. The only thing I like is the picks, but I think I like Thomas enough over Olave to have the picks. So again, I would love to see this trade a week from now and see what everyone thinks of it, if Olave is like, you know, a Bill or something like that, and how Brian Thomas looks. So, all right. TA8, we have Rashad White for 2 26-thirds. Bills contender for rebuilder. Easy enough.
I think I value Rashad White still a little more. Yeah. I personally, and maybe this is a downfall of my own dynasty play, I value the thirds as just like kind of nothing. At least Rashad White we're seeing right now, kind of the value he brings as a, you know, back up to Bucky. That Bucky is a smaller back. He kind of does get banged up a little bit between his two seasons in here. He has missed a bunch of games.
I
think I'm just hanging on to Rashad White just because he generates points for me today, and I'll figure out, and you know, two dart throws later, that's, yeah, I'll keep the guy.
Yeah, I would want White too. I think even if you're only getting a game or two of Rashad White right now, without Bucky, because it was just made last week. I'm not sure exactly what Bucky's timeline is, but 2/3 is just not. I'd want a second if I'm moving away, because he has some value even when Bucky's playing and pops up here and there. It's hard to predict when Bucky's playing, but he'll have his games here or there where he gets a touchdown and like 60 yards or something like that. So, and catches a pass or two. I just feel like this is the kind of guy, even like, I get why a non-contender would do this, which obviously what this was. But I'd try and hold out for get somebody to give me a late second.
Bucks are on their bye, so I don't think we're going to hear about Bucky for a week or so. On top of that, has it felt like Bucky's like just the quietest big injury we've had in a like Bolles isn't saying a thing about him. Like, he's just like, he's out for week seven.
Yeah.
They don't say he's practicing. They don't say he's this. So that's just, it feels like a weird injury. I would probably value White for more than 2/3 too, especially just because we don't know what Bucky is doing, but you could lose White's value basically next week if Bucky comes back. So I get the risk. Next one is Derrick Henry for a 26-second.
Man.
It's attractive with
Lamar. Likely late too. I put that on there. Likely late.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So to me, Derrick Henry is so close to someone just right off into the sunset with. To be like, we're just gonna get all the value and just never buy it, like never sell out. But yeah, I mean, that's, that second's pretty interesting. I don't want to say like, can I get a 27-second? It's just because I like that class a little bit better.
Yeah,
projected at least. But I don't know. Rocky, you can give a real answer because I'm actually not even sure.
Yeah, I think I need more than a late second to sell Henry. I just think with Lamar coming back, I know he wasn't great with before Lamar got hurt. He had like the good first game and then kind of wasn't great and he was fumbling a lot and all this stuff. But I just feel like he could definitely have a great second half of the season. And you might regret selling him for a late second at that, even if you're not contending, which obviously they're probably not if they're selling. I just don't think his value's felt. I know he's super old. I just feel like I'd probably want a second plus at least, and preferably an earlier second. Like I don't think, you know, you're not getting a first for Derrick Henry.
No.
But I need a little more than a late set, and this is like a clearly late set. Like if you look at the league, it's like probably 9-12.
Yeah. And we're about to enter his time, right? The footballers make this joke all the time. They call him the Yeti because he plays his best in the wintertime when it's cold and snowy. So Rocky's right. His second half of the season is, I would love to actually see the splits on that. His second halves are better than his first halves of the season. And Lamar's coming back, and I don't know much about their schedule, but they're going to have to really win some games. So we'll see. I agree with Rocky. I think you need more than that. But I don't know if you can get much more.
Which, by the way, too, in the second half of this, he's got some rough games in the playoffs, but he also has the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bengals twice in the second half of the season.
Goodness gracious.
So he's going to go nuclear. Yeah, and last year, didn't he, like, the Ravens, like, won you titles last year if you had any Ravens on your playoff teams last year, so. I would trade more than that for Henry, so therefore I would take Henry on this. Okay, J.K. Dobbins in a 27-second for Ricky Pearsall.
This one was me, so you guys can both go first.
Interesting. My first thought is I'm taking J.K. Dobbins in the second, but you know, obviously, I feel like we haven't seen Ricky Pearsall play this season.
Right. I'm just looking up where he is right now. Go ahead.
And we kind of seen some of what he can do, but yet, I don't know. This 49ers are so weird just in general as who is going to actually become the next, you know, man up. I think I'm going to say J.K. Dobbins in the second on this one.
They are reevaluating Pearsall on Wednesday before their game this week.
Awesome.
And he plays the Giants. So just, I don't know. I kind of don't want either side because
just pass.
Harvey did some garbage time stuff this week. And I feel like Dobbins might be losing his grip a little bit, but like, this is my question with Pearsall, and Brian can answer since Rocky made the trade. If everyone's there, Ayuk, Jennings, Kittle, Pearsall, like, is his value just come from volume, or does he actually have standalone value as a Niners receiver?
I think he's a genuinely good player. The really tough part is, you know, I think, like, the volume is going to be really hard to come by. Because it's not like they need to pepper him with you know, targets between Kittle and CMC, especially in like, you know, any like short area dump off type of thing. And I, you know, he's going to be, I actually am worried about Ayuk to see what he can do again. I don't know if he's even like relevant even as a player. Like, I think Pearsall is just like a good player. He has the draft capital. They want to use him theoretically. So to me, like, he can be good. I actually just like how Dobbins's been playing now more. I just think, like, you know, I know Harvey had the 3 touchdowns, which was super annoying because I owned Dobbins in a bunch of places. But he still ran for 100 yards. Like, he still
they were garbage too.
Like,
they
absolutely Dobbins has like, been the better working. Back like all year, like,
100%
on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
But and I'm a huge Dobbins guy. I have tons of Dobbins. But I this is a rebuild team for me. And some fun background on this. I actually, this was a trade that was on the show in the non-point scoring season. I traded a 3rd and a 4th for Dobbins. I think maybe either right when he signed in Denver, just before. And with the idea, knowing this team wasn't contending, with the idea that I could flip him for more. And it's not an exact one-for-one be able to comparison because it's part of a you know, a package with a pick, but I kind of feel like I did that here. I mean, I think this is more than 3rd and 4th value, at least that I'm, that he's substituting in this trade. So I feel pretty good about that. And I do like Pearsall. I don't have much Pearsall. I might only have like one other place. And I do think if everybody's healthy, there could be competition for targets, obviously. I do think he's a good enough player that if he gets on the field and he's healthy, that he can take away targets from Juwan Jennings.
Certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brandon Ayuk, we'll see. You know, who knows what he's going to be. He's probably, even when he comes back, assuming he does this year, he's probably not going to be, probably not going to see real Brandon Ayuk till next year. But the point is, I don't need him to score me any points this year. That was why I was selling J.K. Dobbins. And I feel like it was worth the shot. Like, after this year, it's very possible J.K. Dobbins has zero value. And I'm not doing anything this year. So I don't think he's going to have zero value because I feel like he probably gets signed somewhere else, even if Denver
lets to ruin know. Someone else's but, rookie.
Yeah. Well, I always thought Dobbins was better than Harvey anyway. But it might, you know, when he goes somewhere else and it could be like he's clearly the second back there, whereas he's, you know, this is probably the highest J.K. Dobbins value will ever be again is for now and the rest of this year.
Yeah,
I take that.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not trying. I'm trying to lose. So,
yeah,
like I said, I probably wouldn't make this trade. But if you force me to pick, I guess take Pearsall just because consolidating assets.
Yeah, I put him out there and I just got this as a cold offer. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah,
I just said Dobbins is on the block, and
yeah,
for anybody who wants points.
All right, last one. TA10, Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers for a mid to late second.
Pass. Bold.
This is awesome. I guess I'm taking. By the way.
Sorry, I got to remember the format here. Yeah, I don't know. Right now, I guess if I'm rebuilding, I'm taking the second because the combined age of these two guys is pretty absurd for the NFL standard. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, if I'm trying to contend and all of a sudden I just need 2 QBs for Superflex, sure, I'll send a late second. But yeah, I guess I think I'm taking the late second if I'm if I just need picks.
You said this was you, Rocky, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is easy quarterbacks for me. That's not even close to enough for those two.
Really?
No. Especially with Flacco's schedule towards the playoffs and everything, he has Ravens, Dolphins, Cardinals in the playoffs, the fantasy playoffs. So
yeah, I've tried selling Rodgers and I can't get anything for him. This is me. I'm not. This is a middling team. I'm not really rebuilding, but I'm not competing because I'm like 3 and 5 and 7th and 8th in points, something like that, on a team I was trying to contend, but it's not great. And even if I want to keep trying to contend, I actually still have Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold on this roster. Mm-hmm. Even if I want to keep trying, which I probably will, because I have too many other guys that I would have to sell off, and I'm too lazy to do that.
How many quarterbacks did you have?
Well, five? Four starters, if you include Flacco and Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, and I actually had Cousins this week, too, for a week.
God.
In another league, I have not been able to get anything. I wasn't really trying hard to sell Rodgers here, but I have trouble getting a third for Rodgers on his own. I didn't see either of these guys getting a second on their own. I didn't even throw this out there. This is another one. I didn't even put these guys out there like I want to sell these guys. Someone just sent me this. I thought, like Brian said, probably needed a couple quarterbacks. I didn't even look at his roster. I just saw it and I was like, yeah, I'll take a second for these guys. I still, if I want to keep trying, I still have two quarterbacks. And I don't think you're getting a second for either of these guys on their own. Maybe with the right team, that's desperate. But my experience, and I hadn't tried to sell Flacco, but my experience with selling Rodgers is even after the season started and he was showing that he was putting up some points, I was not able to get anything for him. So I was like, yep, let me take this.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm basing it purely off of schedules at this point and thinking that the Steelers are probably going to get Rodgers some help and Flacco has all the help he needs.
You're saying, I'm curious, you're saying easy quarterbacks. What would you want added to the second? Like if you're me, like, are you asking for 2 seconds?
No, I'd want like Milroe or something like that. Like a quarterback okay. Who I can stash. I'd want something else with it because if I'm going to trade 2 starting quarterbacks away who are probably middle tier quarterbacks, like they're not Geno Smith, right? They're better than that. And like I said, they have some awesome schedules. I mean, Rodgers has,
but they also may never play again after 9 games
from fine now, if I'm a contender though. I can win a title with those two, streaming between those two and playing the schedules. And like, let's say I have Lamar as my QB1, right, and I need a QB2, I'll play the matchups with those two as my two. And I just
looked, by the way, finally for the first time, these other QBs were Jackson Dart, Cam Ward, and Bryce Young. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I would have maybe asked for Bryce, but well, that's probably too much.
Yeah. I think it probably would have been.
Rodgers has Dolphins, Lions, Browns in the playoffs, in the fantasy playoffs. So, I mean, he's going to score. And they both have the Bears left. They both have Ravens matchups left, although the Ravens look better now. I don't know. I weirdly trust these two, which I don't love because they're going to burn me, but weirdly trust that these two are going to be able to score enough points to matter.
I'm starting both on the other contain,
As you should. I mean, the Joe Flacco Browns run with Amari Cooper, I think, has left a pretty permanent mark on, like all of our brains to be like, yeah, but he will bring me to the championship.
He's throwing like 40 passes a game since he got to Cincinnati. So, I mean, he's gonna throw. This isn't some run heavy offense where he's going to throw 20 times a game. All right. Listener questions. Starting with Jonathan Smith at DFF_S Jonathan02. Which Cardinals running back are you hanging your hat on for the rest of the season? So quickly on that, they cut Carter and then put him back on the practice squad.
Do we know Benson's actual return date?
He has the bye this week, and then he has one more game of IR next week. He just had his bye. He has one more game of IR this week.
Week 10. Yeah. My gut just says Trey Benson.
Yeah.
I mean, Bam Knight's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not really trying to queue up Amari DiMeccardo again.
No.
And if Michael Carter's on the practice squad, okay. So I'll take the former second round pick.
Bam could win you a week this week, though.
This is true.
A guy who holds the backfield by himself against the Cowboys.
That is true. But yeah, I don't see how the answer to this can be anything. But
I think it's Benson too, unless we find out this week that he's more hurt and he's not coming back next week. Which I think we'll hear about coming out of their bye. Yeah, I don't really have much else to add unless they trade one. I mean, they've been discussed around like the Breece Halls and stuff like that. I just don't see why they would do that because they're not playing very well. Unless
they're 2-5.
West. Yeah. I don't get that. Unless they think Hall's like the running back of the future.
Well, he threw a pass too, so
he did.
They
better than Kyler's like, looked.
I was gonna say, let's upgrade our QB at the time while we're at it.
That game was so fun, by the way. I'm so happy they won that game for Nick Mangold.
For sure.
All right, Tommy Blair at fftommyb.beastguy.social. Brock, what do you wish podcasts or podcasters would do that they don't? And Zach Reed said, hoping for more parody songs.
This is such a good question because I don't know what else they can do more.
Right.
it's so funny with podcasters. Yeah, like, you know, there's so many podcasts I'm sure out there that are doing something really unique and that like we just don't know because, I don't know, it's really easy to make a podcast and do that. And then there's also just like the platform, just like the medium of podcasting slash like kind of doing a show where like, you know, there's only so much you can do in terms of just like doing bits and more theme song for Herms. Definitely. Absolutely. yeah, I, you know, more parody songs. Sure. You know, more karaoke. Sure. Why not? You know, so it's kind of a hard question to answer. I don't know. The other thing I had in my mind was, oh, like maybe just like tell us more about like how you really just like fumbled an entire season. You're just like, oh, yeah. I traded blah, blah, blah. And just like went from, you know, 5-3 to 5-13 and just like completely missed the whole season. But I feel like people do that kind of just naturally because it's fun to talk about. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's a tough question. I'll think about that and then apply it to other podcasts that I'm in.
Rocky, do you have anything that you hear? You listen to as many podcasts as anyone. I mean,
I don't really, I actually don't as much anymore. Yeah, I don't really have a great answer for this. Finding trades for listeners.
Yeah.
That's what we used to do on my other podcast.
We're going to bring that back.
Maybe next week.
Teaser, hint, hint.
Other than that, nothing's really springing to mind. I don't listen to as many fantasy podcasts as I used to. I can't think of anything that specifically sticks out that I'm like, I wish they would do this more.
My favorite things are like the live chats. Like Scott Fish has gotten really good at this, and CBS does like their Sunday morning thing, and like everyone has a Sunday morning show now where they just answer chat questions. I think that's good interaction, just as opposed to ranking this wide range of players where you have to rank. You're just like, tell me what decisions you have to make this week and I'll help you make those decisions. And there should be, and someone can take this idea because I'm not going to ever be able to do this, but there should be like a chat roulette thing where like you have someone pop up on the screen for a minute and you got to like debate something or like do a rankings question and then you get kicked out and the next person comes in and you get kicked out. And there should be something like that. I don't know. I don't know how you would do it, but I've always said like there should be a chat like centric show, and I don't know how you would put that together because you would need a big chat to do that. But
the chaotic caller segment.
Yeah. Like New York radio meets fantasy takes at the same time. All right. Zach Reed says, who are a few players that you are currently targeting that we might be surprised by? Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Not DK Metcalf.
Yeah, right. Brian, do you have an answer for this? It can be a quarterback. It can be I'm selling. Maybe if you want to spin it, you can say I'm selling this guy for this, and I don't think I'm selling this guy, and people might be surprised. However you want to spin it.
Yeah. Right now, someone who I've been holding on to a while that I'm kind of glad I saw some of the spark come back was Christian Watson. And he just becomes a very interesting player because the Packers really wanted him to be a thing, and he kind of was for a minute there. Then he's just been perennially hurt. He's been hurt every year.
It's a hard word.
Oh my God. And so it hurts to, you know, just keep holding that bag forever. But if he stays healthy, he's just a better version of Matthew Golden, in my opinion. They serve a little bit different roles here, but, I am kind of curious to see if it continues to kind of build on this last week's game. You know, Jordan Love is a good quarterback. He can get the guys the ball. Like, you know, in a way that is beneficial to their team. So, and he's kind of, once again, always competing with just this ragtag team of Packers wideouts that kind of are okay. And then I guess Tucker Kraft now is just like the best tight end in the league. So I guess that's a bummer.
Yeah. It's funny. Tight end three is just a rotating door. Like whoever tight end three is in Dynasty.
It's perfect. It's just like clockwork almost. And then just like quickly on the, if I flip it and like, who am I kind of selling? I might be surprised by, I recently sold, Zay Flowers. I'm just kind of done with it. Yeah, I don't know. He's just not as fun. And like, I don't really know if I can really trust you that much. You have a lot of big boom games, but yeah, I'm done. I'm good.
Rocky, or do you want me to go while you think?
No, I was looking. I got some names. First of all, this is the cockpit answer, so I'm also going to give names. I don't really tend to target players. Like, I don't really make trades that way. No, seriously. Like, I don't I want to get some of this guy. I generally just, like, especially in season, I'll just, depending on which side I'm on, if I'm contending, then I'll look for the teams at the bottom and just what do you have on your roster. And if I'm not contending, I will just look to sell my pieces that have, you know, point value for whatever I can get that has longer term value. So I don't really target specific players generally that way, but I was just scrolling through points and the ADP and stuff and just trying to think of some names. One specifically me that I might be interested in, which is kind of funny because we brought him up earlier, and this is like specific to me, Sam Darnold.
That was my answer too. Yeah.
Because he has been playing as well as he has, like surprisingly well. Another name, like, and these two were more just, I was scrolling through the ADP and like who's maybe someone not talked about a lot. Caleb Johnson is like dead. So if you can get him super cheap, I'd be willing to, like, it would have to be super cheap, or maybe more so probably like a throw in to another deal or something. Mm-hmm. I was never a big Caleb Johnson guy to begin with, though. But
I know that's why I'm surprised you're buying him.
Exactly, it's supposed to be a surprise. Yeah, but I just feel like he's been so just like not used and like out of sight, out of mind. That and maybe the person who has Caleb Johnson is not going to just dump him after a half a season. So, but I wouldn't pay much. And then the other one was more a higher end guy. Maybe not higher end, but more so than Caleb Johnson. I feel like, not that he's great, but I feel like Dalton Kincaid is having a very quietly good season. He had a bad week 8, but and missed a game. But before that, he was playing really well in tight end premium leagues. I have him on one roster in TA3, and I wasn't expecting to contend on this team. He's basically been starting for me every week, and I don't know that, you know, I don't know that he's going to cost you a fortune either. I don't feel like somebody that people are really talking about. Not like he's been a top five tight end, but like, I'm just like, I pulled up just because I know he's been good on my, he's like 17.8, 10.7, 21.3, 10.5, 21.3. So he's been very consistently double digits with 20 point upside in TA leagues, 1.75 premium.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually my strategy right about now, and Rocky touched on it with Darnold, is to get quarterbacks that people are predisposed not to like Flacco's old, Rodgers is old. Darnold has, he can't keep this up. Look at last year. Like that, you know, if you tell me I can get a couple of those for a late second, like we just did with Rodgers and Flacco, and I can just shift them around and play them however I want to play them, that's easy for me. I would be happy to do that, especially contending. And I know that's more of like a contending thing versus like just in general. I think the in general one would be Cortland Sutton, who's, I think, underappreciated as a wide receiver one because there's all these other wide receivers in Denver now that are playing well, but I still think Sutton's number one. So that would be my answer. In terms of selling, I'm not really selling anyone right now. My TA teams are pretty locked in stone right now because I'm either like dead ass last or trying to win. So they're pretty set in stone right now, unfortunately. So I don't know. What's the best piece of fantasy advice you've ever heard? It doesn't have to be from an analyst.
I feel like I had a really good answer for this, but the only thing that keeps coming up is just, why don't you start the good players?
Makes it sound so easy.
Oh God. I don't know. I don't know. Rocky, do you have anything?
You're fair to me. I feel like I should have some amazing answer for this.
And
I couldn't really come up with anything great either. There's nothing specific that sticks out to me. I think the answer that came to mind when I thought about it a little was actually from Russ, and just to always be moving on to the next trade. Never, always have a short memory. Don't look back on trades. Just if the trade was bad, that's just an excuse to trade your way out of it and make another trade.
Yeah. Mine is from this show also, which is draft for value, trade for need. Just never implies value. I have a team that's ridiculously stacked at receiver. We don't need to get into it, but he offered me a 27 second for Garrett Wilson. And he's like, you're never going to play him. And it's like, that doesn't mean he's not worth anything. And he's worth what he's worth, regardless of if he's starting in this roster or not. And I've done enough dispersals now where I've been taking whatever piece I can get, and I'll get rid of that for a 27 second or something like that. I think that's the biggest takeaway I've ever had.
It's a good thing Russ doesn't still listen to these, because we're pumping up his ego big time here. Both of us mentioning Russ's.
I know. All right. We can go on to Zach's last question. Rocky, how does it feel dropping out of first because you lost to a 2-5 team that forgot to start Kittle and Henry?
Did I pull out of first? I knew I lost.
I don't know what TA this is.
This is TA 11. This actually, it's funny he asked this, because it actually does bug me that I'm, funny enough, this is funny too, but coming into the week, I was 6-0-1. I had a tie the week before. It was something 0.8. I forget what it was, but we both had the same exact score. And so now I'm 6-1-1. But Zach, as he says, is not doing very well this year. And it hurt even more because the last 2 years, TA11's existed for 3 years. The last 2 years, it's been me and Zach in the title game, and I've lost both times, both fairly close. So he's not good this year, and I still can't beat him. So at least I'm still doing better. But it was not great.
Before we get on to Dynastud's list, Herms gave his best advice. He says, my favorite is good players normally come from good teams, so draft players on good teams. Easy enough. And then Eric posted in the chat, what do y'all consider competing? Sneak into the playoffs, lock for playoffs, top three only? And do you sell if you are one of the weaker playoff teams, or do you go all in to try and, I think he meant to try and make it. Brian, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I would lean towards lock for playoff above. Mainly because a lot of times when you think you can sneak into the playoffs, your team isn't actually good enough to win the playoffs. And that kind of sucks to say, since every week is different. Football is a beautiful game where any given Sunday, right, anything can happen.
Yes.
However, if fantasy football is an odds game, it's a percentage game. It's we're aiming for, you know, a certain certainty of games, right? So if you're at an 8-6 team, you got into the playoffs, you know, your points for is generally pretty low, but you just kind of got lucky some weeks. I would not consider you a contender. You're definitely, you know, that's where we've come into the phrase, the pretender phase. You know, you could luck out, you know, through the playoffs, but now you're just kind of hoping that you either win or you get out in the first round, because if you get caught in that 10-11 spot in the draft, that kind of hurts. So I would say if you're sneaking to the playoffs, you're certainly not competing.
I agree 100% with what Brian said. That's what I was good. Yeah, if you're a lock for the playoffs, then I consider you a contender. And like he mentioned, make sure you're looking at points. Even if you're 5-3, 6-2 at this point. If that's, you could still be a lucky 6-2, even, yes. I think. You could be like, you know, 250 points off the, you know, top team, and 100 and some points off multiple. Yeah, then you're still probably not a, a really contending team.
Yeah.
To answer his second question, I don't tend to sell if I'm one of the, if I believe I'm probably making the playoffs, I don't tend to sell in the weaker playoff teams. In part two, because in most of my dynasty leagues, you can trade in the playoffs. And if you go in the first round and lose, you'll find teams that you could trade some of those parts then, like, especially then, like, you're going to get way more than you should for 1 or 2 weeks of a guy when a team is sees the title staring them in the face after they've made the semis and you haven't. So if I'm a weaker playoff team, I'm still, because it does happen. I've had six seeds that go on and win the title.
Because you never know, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
So if I believe I'm actually contending, but I'm locked into like that fifth spot or whatever, not, you know, not the sneak into the playoffs, you know, type team that's scoring 300 points less than everybody else. I might not go all in if I'm way off, you know, if I'm a bit off the top teams, but I definitely am going to keep trying to win. And if I add anything, just buy something super cheap, probably.
Yeah. The only nuance I'd add to that is, I think Brian nailed it. There's contenders and pretenders, even with rankings. Eric said that's the smartest stuff I've ever allowed to respond. So
I don't know if I take that as kind of a backhanded compliment.
I was going to say, I won't add too much to it if he said something so smart. But the only nuance I'd add to that is, like, if I have an old QB like Rodgers as my QB3 and one of the higher teams is over a barrel because someone got hurt, I might risk my depth a little bit, but not trade anything high end. But I might trade some bench players that I wouldn't normally trade. So that's the only kind of nuance to that. But otherwise, I agree with everything you guys said. Okay, Dynastud's list. Assuming Rashee is both healthy and permanently past his legal issues, which it seems like he is, where do you rank him among dynasty wide receivers? Am I crazy to have him as wide receiver 7 or 8? Brian, is Dynastud crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy.
This is the perfect opportunity to play the game.
The name game?
The game where we go off the DLF ADP and see where you put him.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think he gets to 7 or 8. But I think let me start here.
Yeah.
Okay. Rashee Rice. I'm going to start at 12, Emeka Ibuka.
Oh, that's so hard already.
Give me Rice for now.
I think it's Rice.
Actually, this is interesting too. Wide receiver 13, I was planning on going up, but then I saw who 13 was. Rashee Rice or Garrett Wilson?
Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice or Brian Thomas?
Rice.
Thomas is too high.
Nico.
Rice. as confident as that is.
Rice, because I think the Texans wide receivers, they just had three basically rookies win them a game this week.
The Iowa State literally wide receivers.
Literally, all three of them. Yep. Yeah,
I think I'm still Nico there, but we'll keep going since you guys said Rice. Rashee Rice or Rome Odunze?
Rice. Rome's way too high.
Yeah, I think he's
too high. Rome does seem too high, and yeah, no, that's right.
Okay, this is where I think we stop. So he does make it to 9 on your guys' list, but the next one is Rashee Rice or Malik Nabers.
Nabers.
And then it's London, Lamb, JSC. Oh,
I would say London's Rice over too London. High
too. Yeah. I'd take actually Rice over Nabers, I think. I trust the offense more.
Oh wow.
That's been like, and that's with most of these names, that's like the number one thing for me. It's just like Mahomes and the KC offense is just
listen
like
to Herms. Good players important. Come from good teams. Like, I know he gets the workload, but and are we sure Malik is going to be completely healthy? Didn't he just rip his knee apart? I mean,
he's young, and I think he's going to have I thought this before the season even started that Jackson Dart was the quarterback.
Go to 5. So he's going to have a good quarterback. There's guys who are ranked too high on this list, so go to 5. And
Neighbors is 8. London is 7. CD Lamb is 6.
Now we're crazy.
Yeah, CD. Yeah.
JSN, Amon-Ra.
JSN is over CD.
Yep.
DLF's on one today. What the hell?
People are excited. I don't blame them.
I know that, but man, really?
I mean, one draft can throw these off a little.
No, bit, I know.
They don't only do like 4 or 5 or something like that. So
I would have. Let's do it this way. I'd take Rice over London. I'd take Rice over Odunze. I'd take Rice over Thomas. And those were the people who were kind of mainly ahead of him.
So we're sitting around 8-9.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have him a little lower, but lower than 8 anyway. The question is 7-8. Nico. Yeah, I would definitely take Neighbors is a no-brainer to me, but
yeah.
If Houston didn't look so bad this season so far, I would have Nico probably over Rice. But that offensive.
Oh yeah, I get the logic of not having him over there. Yeah. I'm just Nico. I've been a Nico guy for a while, and I'm still there.
And Rocky, do you know what I'm going to ask you?
No.
Would you rather have Rice or Bowers?
Bowers.
Still,
I believe a lot of this season is the injury.
Okay.
He got injured early. I'm not sure he ever fully recovered, and then he got injured again. So I'm not holding that against him. Also, not to mention he's got Geno Smith through to him, so which is not going to necessarily.
Neighbors has Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart is miles better than Geno Smith.
I know. All right, moving on to the Saints. You said, "How afraid are you of Shuck killing the New Orleans pass catchers? Fantasy fortunes. Rattler obviously wasn't good in real life, but he made Olave, Juwan, and Shaheed serviceable. Juwan, not so much anymore." I'm not sure if we can assume that continues anymore with Shuck. So first off, all of this could change by next Tuesday. They could all be gone. And then I don't know what they do, but there's a chance all three of these guys are gone. But Ryan, what are you doing with the Saints with Shuck coming in, which I guess we never actually put in the news, but that's happening this week.
I would say, by the way, I don't feel like we see not that Shaheed and Juwan Johnson are big names, but like a lot of fantasy relevant players move at the trade.
We do this every year where like Olave is going to go to the Chiefs and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
So
I think chances are they're all still there.
Yeah. Just listening to, so like the Patriots made some trades today as like a Patriots fan, I was like tuning in. They're defensive players. I thought the value would be like way more. They'd be like, we got like a 4th, 5th round pick or something. It's like 7th round pick swap for a defensive player. Yeah. You're like, okay. Yeah, these real, actual, valuable players, like in fantasy, they're never getting moved unless it's like something truly crazy. You know, like the Titans decide to pick up Treylon Burks instead of A.J. Brown. But for the Saints, it's weird because like my expectations are the same. Like Spencer Rattler, to me, was like fine to bad. Like he just overall didn't really feel like a quarterback that could win games just because, various limitations. I feel like he could, rip the ball once in a while, but he just didn't have all the tools. And, like, Shuck is, like, just a taller version who's played college for 20 years. So, I don't know. I can see Shuck being a little more potentially good for fantasy because he can kind of, like, run a tad more, which is weird to say, but he has done it a few times, at least, in college. I think he's still going to pepper Olave. I think Olave is just like fine enough to just get open, and that I'm not too worried. And like same thing with Juwan Johnson. I think the only one you really be concerned about is Shaheed. No idea how that deep ball is going to go for Shuck. So I don't know. It seems like if you're already banking a lot on the Saints, I think you're in a tough spot.
That's a good point.
So it's like expectations are kind of the same. I think it's just another below average quarterback that has to really surprise us in their first start.
I'm going to be honest. That's basically my answer to the last sentence he said there, because I do not know much about Tyler Shuck at all, other than he was drafted in the second round. But like specifics of his game, what he does well, if anything. So I just feel like it's one bad quarterback in for maybe a bad to high-end mediocre quarterback. So I expect the same, basically. I could be wrong, and Tyler Shuck could be the worst quarterback we've ever seen. But like I said, I don't know that yet. So it's not like Spencer Rattler I don't even view him as really competent. So, like, to me, it's not much of a I can't see how there could be a humongous drop off. I know he's been okay-ish for fantasy, or at least for the other, you know, some of the pieces in there. But yeah, I don't see a huge difference in talent level. So I don't see why it would make a huge difference.
Yep. I agree with Eric. I think Shahid's getting moved. I think it would be silly for them not to if he's a free agent after this year and lose him for nothing. Just get anything for him.
Yeah, any value.
Seems yeah. Good. And Brian brought up the Titans, and you know, he obviously said Burks and Brown, but Ridley's one that could go because DK and Io Manor seem to be kind of the two wide receivers they want. So before we move on, Brian, as a Patriots guy, I think everything moved a little ahead of schedule this year. Anything you want in the trade deadline as it comes up? You want a receiver? You want anything?
I mean, yeah, like a receiver would be sweet. To be honest, like, you know, I know the Eagles are not trading AJ Brown, so not even gonna fantasize about what
they do. We'll bring Brian back on.
I'll be shocked if they trade AJ. Like, there's so much more going on than we know about if they trade AJ Brown.
Truly, I couldn't agree more. Like, if there is something going on like behind the scenes, then I'm shocked that's stayed all in house so far. I guess good job, Big Dom, keeping the lockdown. But yeah, for it's really the defense. It's boring because it's not really a lot of fancy stuff. I think the receiving core is kind of like prototypically Patriot, where it is kind of a bunch of dudes just doing their job and then Stephon Diggs. And that's working. Sure. Like, I actually was pretty down on Demario Douglas in the beginning of the season. He's kind of turning around, which is really nice. I think that was just all gearing up to just the McDaniel system. So yeah, like in a perfect world, they'll find like if Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed goes to the Patriots, I think we're gonna have a long discussion about what that office can do. But truly, like, for real football purposes, like, the Pats need to get somewhere on defense because they get kind of gashed a lot, despite what the scores have been saying. They're giving like a lot of yards. So here's to hoping something happens. I mean, they've made some trades already. Who knows? And brand new, like, or a new-ish GM in, you know, support staff around Vrabel. Fingers crossed.
Man, now I want Olave on the Patriots because I think that would salvage him. Yeah. No, you guys are like a Hunter Renfrow away from completing your wide receiver gauntlet that you guys always have. So
we have him on the bench already. His name's Efton Chisholm III.
There we go. Right, yeah. There. Yeah. All right, we can go back to the questions. Did the return of Aaron Jones just make him and Jordan Mason unstartable again? Yes. Is my answer.
Yes. Unless you're very, very pressed for running back, I would pick Aaron Jones. Yeah. But yeah.
There's no startable Minnesota running back, unfortunately. I mean, there is, but yeah, you're stuck. All right, last one. He said, asking for a friend. We'll start with we'll let Brian answer first. Asking for a friend, what do I do when I literally cannot set a legal lineup? All my rostered QBs are on bye. It won't let me submit a lineup with a guy on bye or without a QB, and I have no fab left. Good God. To get some random backup who isn't on bye.
Is this a sleeper thing? Because MFL lets you start guys on bye.
This must be a sleeper thing,
I think. Or maybe it's just guys aren't starting.
You can start people on sleeper. This has to be some flea flicker bullshit or something like that. Like, this
maybe MFL doesn't let you start guys on bye. I thought they did.
The sleeper, but you can, because we have people tanking and doing that. Check.
I have MFL.
It is MFL. Now that I'm thinking about
really?
It.
Interesting.
I don't think you can submit. I think you can leave it and not change it, but you can't submit it.
Oh, I see. So
go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, you're right. You can't check the box.
I mean, what else can you do? Like, what happens if you just don't? Like,
I don't know.
I don't think you get kicked out.
Rocky's a commissioner of a lot of wacky leagues. What do you do? You just say, screw it, he's fine.
Just like I think as commissioner, I could probably. I'm curious now. I'd have to go in one of my commission leagues. There's a lot of stuff you can do as commission that you can't do as a regular owner. And I think you could probably. I think as a commissioner, I could at the very least set a lineup with like 9 players if you're supposed to have 10. whereas you can't do that in MFL.
Right. You can't submit. It says it spits you out.
But you can if you're commissioner, I believe. Got it. So I think that would be the best thing is to go to your commish and just say, I want to start 9 players and, instead of starting nothing. And that's better for the league than you starting nothing. So the commish should be on board with that. If all your guys are on bye, it's not your problem. And I'm not obligating a person to make a trade,
right?
To give up an asset to have a starting quarterback for 1 week.
Yes,
because all the others are on bye, and the friggin' thing doesn't let you start them. So
yeah,
and then, like I said, I'm not sure. I'd have to check, but it might even let the commission might even be able to click the thing for the buys. I'm not sure the guys on bye, but if either way you're starting 9, either way it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But and if it's a 10, you know, 10 man league, 10 starter league. So I think that's the solution. Talk to your commish.
I remember I was still a listener of this show at this time, but I was in someone's league and I traded like a second for a quarterback so I could actually start a real quarterback this week. And then you and Russ were like, don't ever do that. Like on the show. And I'm like, crap. Like, why did I do that? It's like, it's okay if you start people on bye. I'm like, it is. I was like, never, like, that was like my first year coming out of redraft. So it didn't feel right to do that. And yeah, I stupidly traded like a second for like the 32nd quarterback because quarterbacks were going for first then.
Yeah.
That's yeah. I'm with Rocky. Talk to your commissioner. There's no hard and fast rule about this, but that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Brian. Excellent debut on the Trade Addicts pod. I hope you had fun, but
before
we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah. Just as a last minute reminder here, I am Brian Rockwood. I am a writer and show host over at Fantasy Now Plus, where I run Get Tilted YouTube show for DFS. And I also write for Optimist Fantasy. And you can find me most actively on Blue Sky at BrockTalksFF at FantasyNowPlus.com. And less actively on Twitter at EsportsBrock. I think that's it. I mean, I was going to say, I'm also pretty active on Discord, depending on where we might be on several different community channels. But yeah, so if you have any questions, you can ping me there as well.
Cool. Our stuff, patreon.com/RxPod. You can watch us while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. There's also Fantasy Cares recap shows for SFB trivias on Tuesdays, SFB recaps on Tuesdays, trivia Tuesday nights, Wednesday night hangout. And before we head out, a couple of show notes. I'll be out for a couple of weeks. Rocky's going to hold it down with a special group of guests next week. I won't tease it too much. But it'll be a fun little get together for that. And then I'll be back in a couple of weeks. And
then I won't.
And then Rocky will. So we don't hate each other. I hope people know that because we've been kind of doing this tag where we kind of trade in and out. We like each other still sometimes.
Yeah. If anyone's listening, I told Frank ahead of time, like I got some other stuff going on and I'm probably going to be taking off about a show a month. And yeah, so. And Frank, I think, had something at the last minute recently. So yes, we don't hate each other. We've just been very busy and in and out.
I think that's it. As Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member. Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.